I think one of the fringe benefits of getting to heaven will be that we never have to say goodbye again. I hate saying goodbye. So Sister Dorothy, we were talking before on the couch, and she said, why couldn't the Lord just let us come to Greenwood Hills and stay? I'd like to turn your attention to the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Lord Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. And in verse 49, he said, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, shall we turn to Acts of the Apostles, first chapter. That's the second book of Luke. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise, verse 1, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now let's go down to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Luke addressed two letters to his friend Theophilus, and in the first letter, he addressed him as a most excellent Theophilus. Apparently he was a man of parts. And then he began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to exalt the Lord throughout the whole epistle or letter or gospel according to Luke. He apparently had done such a good job that when he addressed his second letter to him, he dropped the adjective, most excellent Theophilus. I think the reason perhaps is because he had been presenting to him the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once we get that, we don't need all kinds of adjective to describe each other. And so he tells him in this second letter that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. The proofs that, amongst others, that he showed himself alive were the appeal to the five senses of the natural man. He appealed to their sight. They saw him. It's pretty hard to deny what your eyes have seen. And so he appealed to their sight. They saw him. And then he appealed to their hearing. They heard him. He appealed to their speech. They could talk to him. And he, in turn, heard them. And then he could appeal to their sense of touch. Handle me and see, he said. A spirit hath not flesh and bones like I have. And finally, he appealed to their sense of smell. How did he appeal to their sense of smell? These are the five senses that each of us are endued with when we're born. Well, Scripture has said in the Old Testament, and it's revealed to us in the New Testament, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And there was no odor of the grave from our Lord Jesus Christ. When a man dies, a woman dies, immediately corruption begins. And it doesn't take long before the odor of death is exuded from that body. It never came from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have the word, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Some of us were speaking the other day with regard, ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. It's the incorruptible blood. Peter speaks of incorruptible things. He speaks of an incorruptible crown. He speaks of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. He speaks of the incorruptible character that should be manifest in each believer. And then he speaks of the incorruptible blood. The Lord Jesus dismissed his spirit on Calvary's cross. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and died. Someone has suggested that he never had rest in his lifetime. He was always active. He was always going. He was always doing something for somebody. And the Son of Man, he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And finally he found a place. He bowed his head on his own chest and his own breast. And he gave up the ghost. A soldier standing by looked at him, and he heard this, and he saw what happened. But in spite of that, he took a spear, and he plunged it into his side. Gloriously, the Spirit of God says to us, forthwith came there out blood and water. It should not have happened. The moment we die, the blood begins to coagulate. Corruption sets in. And I understand that the word there, forthwith, came there out. It's gushed out. The incorruptible blood of Christ. And so he showed himself alive after his passion with many infallible proofs. He said to his disciples, finally, as he was saying goodbye to them, Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out. This was his shepherd character. He led them out. He led them out, it says, as far as to Bethany. I understand that what this actually means, the connotation is that he led them out so that he could see Bethany, parallel to Bethany. And this is recorded in the very human gospel, the Gospel of Luke. And Bethany meant a great deal to him, didn't it? And he wanted so as to speak, humanly speaking, a last look at Bethany. where he had been welcomed in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so he leads them out as a shepherd, as far or alongside of Bethlehem. And then it says he lifted up his hands and blessed them. This is his priestly character. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And they must have seen, as he lifted up his hands again, the marks of Calvary. And oh, how it must have thrilled their hearts to think that he died for them, as it thrills our hearts this morning, as we remember again and again and again that Christ died for us. The Son of God, says Paul, and he makes it very, very personal, the Son of God loved me. My, what a thrill it is to go to bed at night and to be able to say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, that was his priestly character. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He was carried up. Well, first of all, we can look at it in the very human aspect, because Luke's gospel was the gospel of the Son of Man. And it was fitting that a man should be carried up into heaven. But he was carried up by the angels. And of course, this speaks of the royalty, the regalness, the majesty of his character. He was carried up as a king. In the Jewish economy, there were three offices. There was the prophet, there was the priest, and there was the king. Now, if a man was a priest, he couldn't be a king. Because to be a priest, he would have to be born in the tribe of Levi. To be a king, he'd have to be born in the tribe of Judah. And a prophet could come from any tribe. But here we have the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have these characteristics all combined in one. As a prophet, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power." He was prophesying the fact that the Spirit of God would come and endue them with power. Their eyes would be opened, their mouths would be opened, their hearts would be opened. And this is his prophetic character, the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we have noted, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That was his priestly character. And then he was carried up into heaven. That was his kingly character. And then they did something that we are constantly doing, are we not? They worshipped him. That was his deity. He was the God-man. The man Christ Jesus. One of our old worthies used to say, and he would give it to us as he shook and reminded us that he never ceased to be who he was by reason of what he became. He was always God. And so we have in these few verses his prophetic character, his priestly character, his kingly character, and finally, the record of his deity. Just for a few minutes, let's look at the last book of the Bible and the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. But I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship him before the feet of the angel which showed me these things, and saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Let's skip down to verse 20. He which testifieth of these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's nice that the scriptures close with a reminder, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. He had said to his disciples, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. The promise of his coming. How it lifts our hearts above this weary, wicked old world. The promise of his coming. I will come again. How these four words fortify and help us along the desert road. And here at the close of the Holy Scriptures of Truth, he says three times over. And here we have a third time experience, do we not? Behold, I come quickly. What is the first remarkable thing with regard to his first reminder? He says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Yes, with the expectation of the Lord's return comes responsibility. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. We need to be constantly on our guard, do we not? That we are keeping the sayings of this book. Many argue the fact that, well, you can't give me a scripture for this, that, or the other. But we have general principles throughout the Word of God. The apostle wrote to the Hebrew believers, and he reminded them that some were going back. There was going back to the old order of worship. And then he said to them, But I am persuaded better things of you. What things? He said, the things that accompany salvation. You see, our conversation, our manner of life, our dress, our thinking, our speech, it should always be able to accompany the profession of salvation that we enjoy. Keep yourselves from idols, another principle. To not be occupied with the things that pertain to this world. Long, long time ago, I said to myself, and I keep saying it, keep a loose grip on the things of time. Keep a loose grip on the things of time. They perish with the using. And the first response to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, Behold, I come quickly, is to the disciple to keep the words of the prophecy. And there is a responsibility. The second time is in verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. This time he's addressing the servant because he says, and my reward is with me. My reward is with me. Every man shall receive a reward. Even if it's just for a cup of cold water. And I want to tell you, all of you, you'll receive great rewards for your kindness to my wife and I this week. It's been a very precious week. It's been a foretaste of heaven. And we appreciate it. And God is not unfaithful. He notices every token of your affection for the people of God. Yes, the first one is to the disciple. Keep the words of the prophecy of this book. The second is to the servant. My reward is with me. The third time, he says, surely I come quickly. There's no responsibility. There's no reward. But there is a response, isn't there? That rises from our hearts every time we think of its coming. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, that my life might be lived in the edge of expectancy that he'll come today. I think if it did, if my life was in that condition, it would change things. I'd have a different attitude toward the world, toward the unsaved. Yes, even toward my brethren. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It could happen before we get home. And then we'll all be home. And we'll never say goodbye. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank Thee for these precious things that we read in Thy Word. How the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Thy love, loved us even as the Father loved Him. We can't understand this. And we thank Thee, our God, that He showed Himself alive after His Passion, so that we know that today, this very moment, there is a man in the glory, the man Christ Jesus. He's our shepherd along the way of life. He's our priest as He blesses us and as He intercedes for us. We thank Thee, our God, too, that we have been revealed in Thy Word the fact that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that He is God from eternity past to eternity future. O God, help us to appreciate these things and to let them be manifested in our lives. Now part us with Thy blessing, our God. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us this week. We thank Thee for the joy of fellowship with Thy people. We thank Thee for this lovely place where we have been comfortable and accommodated more than we deserve. Our God, we thank Thee for all things because we remember that all things are ours and we are Christ. And Christ is God's. So we bow before Thee in thanksgiving and in supplication for all the blessings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.